2-2 pitch. A swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Hey, everyone. JJ Cooper, Matt Eddy here. Another Baseball America playoff podcast here. We got a lot to cover on a wild weekend as we thankfully still have baseball to go. We still have at least a game six. We may have a game seven still, which I'm sorry, if you're a baseball fan, you always want to have a game seven. I guess if you're a Dodgers fan, maybe you don't. Anyone other than that, you want to see a game seven of the World Series. Any apologies on this one? We may have a little bit more background noise. We're both working from home and have kids. So you know how that goes, probably, as you're listening to this. But we have a lot to cover. A great weekend of baseball. A great weekend, really, I think, for it made this World Series already stands above many because it's gone back and forth. It's 3-2, which you can't have a great series that goes 4-0. You can be a fan of it for the team if you're a fan of the team, but great World Series don't go 4-0. But I would also say with that great World Series, you want to have at least that one classic game. Matt, the first question I'll start out by asking you is does game four clear that bar? Is that a World Series classic that we'll remember for years to come?
Oh, definitely so. You have the multiple lead changes. That hectic ninth inning was just fantastic. I think it was kind of the antidote that baseball needed this year with all of the home runs, strikeouts, and walks. We've got a lot of actual baseball, a key pinch hit, some defensive adventures, misadventures, and some great base running drama. I think that bottom of the ninth had everything.
And you have the unlikely hero, Brett Phillips. If you cover the minors, we do, it's hard not to like Brett Phillips. Brett Phillips is a great guy. He's always, he's been throughout his career, and his career has already been Astros, Brewers, Royals, Rays. That's quite a career for a guy who really hasn't had a whole lot of major league at-bats. But as he stepped to the plate with two outs in the ninth inning, needing a hit to keep the Rays, well, either to keep the Rays alive or to finish the game, that is not the hero that you were. If you were going to predict coming into that game, who's going to be the hero at the plate for the Rays? Brett Phillips would have been one of the last answers you come up with on a roster that had a whole lot of names. And for him to come up with it there, helped, as you said, helped by a lot of defensive miscues. But you couldn't help, but that's one of the things I love about baseball. It happens like that often. It's a situation where you don't get to decide like you do in many other sports. In the NBA, there's no real logical reason that a guy of Brett Phillips' caliber is the guy who's going to take the last shot. If that happens, it's because you screwed up. In the NFL, you want the ball in Tom Brady's hands or Peyton Manning's hands or Russell Wilson's hands at the end of the game. You don't talk about, well, we got this third string quarterback and we're going to bring him in for that moment. But in baseball, you don't get to arrange that. Brett Phillips comes in to pinch run a couple of innings before. And here you go, whether you planned it or not, Brett Phillips is the player who's stepping to the plate with the game on the line. And I mean, two outs in the bottom of, in the ninth, it's the game on the line. And here he goes and he gets the big hit. It's one of the things I just love about baseball. You can talk about the 27 outs, it's not over till it's over. But I think one of the other things is you have players ending up producing in situations or not producing. In situations where in most sports they would never even get the opportunity.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Phillips came in as a pinch runner and he did some good base running on that play too, because he would have been at third base had Rosarena been thrown out at the plate. He would have been on third with two outs for, I guess, who was the next hitter, the seventh hitter?
I gotta have to look that up. I do not.
We talk about it would have been another. It would have been another unlikely postseason hero, more than likely, had Phillips been on third with two outs.
But again, that was the game that kind of makes the series to me. I don't expect another game that good the rest of the series, because we rarely get that. To me, was the best game since the since the, by the way, sorry, I do want to clarify one thing. He wouldn't have been standing at third because that would have been the third out. That is sent us to extra because there were okay. two outs when Phillips was batting. So it wouldn't have been standing on third. It would have been, okay, you know, a Rosarena thrown out at the plate and let's go on to extras. That was to me the best World Series game we've had. I would go back to 2016 Game 7. That's the one. 2016 Game 7 mm-hmm. is – it's hard to top that. Like when I think of, again, that you get an extra added bonus for being Game 7. 2016 Game 7, 2014 Game 7, the heroics of Madison Bumgarner. But not just the heroics of Madison Bumgarner, but remembering that in that game, Alex Gordon is held at third. And so, you know, like there's that decision, should they have sent him or not? Again, in the ninth, those games are all timers. And again, you throw the game seven part of it in and it's just hard to top. But that said, it's this last two games of the series, I felt like game five, we'd be talking about this great game, if not for the fact that it comes in the shadow of game four. But I felt like that last night had a lot of kind of tense moments, strategic decisions. You had the, so you bring Victor Gonzalez in if you're Dave Roberts, which gets G-Man Choi out of the game, but also means that Victor Gonzalez, the lefty, has to fake Franny Arozarena, which mm-hmm. I think that Dave Roberts on a pretty small island of people who thought that that's the decision you wanted to make. But last night's game was thrilling as well and tense.
It really was. And the Rays got the tying run to the plate again. We could have had another walk-off. And, you know, the Dodgers bullpen being as shaky as it has looked at times this postseason, you know, you probably felt pretty good about a Rays possibility comeback.
So, but with that, I felt like that was the game that the Dodgers really needed to win. Like, if the Dodgers don't win that game, it gets a little bit, at that point, then the Rays have to feel really good about their chances because needing to win one of two, I feel like game six is kind of the one. I feel like we got a good shot at game seven now because the Rays are a little better set up from a pitching standpoint, I think, for game six. But then obviously game seven, you're going to have Walker Buehler likely on the mound for game seven, which gives the Dodgers back an advantage for game seven because Walker Buehler has been great. Matt, how much, as just a fan of baseball, as a fan of great baseball players, how much are you hoping that there's not a moment where you get to a game seven of this series, it's the seventh inning, and Clayton Kershaw gets up in the pen? Because Clayton mm-hmm. Kershaw has had the World Series that he kind of needed to have to kind of put somewhat to rest the best pitcher of this generation or one of the best two pitchers of this generation, has pitched great in the playoffs. He's pitched great in the world, pitched very well in the World Series, I guess I should say. If that's it, if he doesn't pitch again in the series, we can kind of put the, he doesn't pitch well in the postseason behind him, but there's still the possibility of two more games. I personally dread the idea of Clayton Kershaw pitching again in the series.
Yeah, that will be an interesting question, especially because the Dodgers bullpen is going to be probably pushed pretty hard in game six because of, you know, likely Tony Gonsolin start, likely a kind of all hands on deck kind of game. So there is the distinct possibility of Kershaw, Urias pitching some relief in game seven.
But there was one thing about that game five I did want to talk about that just struck me because it's one of the things that just shows like how the game has continued to advance and how it's difficult to fully even understand it and comprehend it. Like Victor Gonzalez, G-Man Choi, Randy Arozarena. One of the things that stands out to me about that is the part that we don't know, the hidden part of this. Much like when I talk about the Rays had 59 different lineups this year in 60 games. They platooned in some way. Platoon's probably not even the right word, but they matched their lineup every day by a wide variety of metrics, internal metrics. Here's why we're gonna play this guy. Here's why we're not gonna play this guy. And the thing that just stands out to me that I do wonder about with Victor Gonzalez, who got the out against Randy Arozarena, is as fans, even as people who follow the game very closely, we can look at lefty-righty. Hey, you know, you don't want to have the lefty face the righty. that's so far to me below what is actually being looked at in these games, where it's much more of how does this pitcher's pitches play with this batter's, how, you know, how he plays. I think that there's a lot going on there that I often wonder if it's just kind of below the surface to where we can't even fully comprehend it. I'm not saying that we just automatically say the managers always have more information than everyone else, and so therefore their decisions are always the right process, even if we don't comprehend it. I don't want to go that far with it. But I do, when I was watching that, I was just thinking, you know what? I don't want to make this as simple as you got a lefty facing Randy Arozarena. You don't want a lefty to face Randy Arozarena, because I promise you that the Dodgers analysis of that goes so far beyond that, that there's some of that that's public facing that we can kind of try to infer. But as we sit here working on prospect lists, the amount of information that we can go through just with public facing information and some reporting that we've done is almost overwhelming. For a World Series, I can't even imagine how much data is going into the decisions on here's the pitchers that we want to face these guys, here's the batters that we want to get up against these relievers for them, vice versa.
Yeah, and you know, perhaps Gonzalez is a better matchup for Arozarena than we would believe, just because Arozarena has shown he can take, you know, the fastball away out to the big part of the park. So maybe you do want somebody who can kind of locate off speed off the plate, which is something that Gonzalez was trying to do there.
And again, it was one pitch, boom, out, you know, it did work. That's one of those things where I expect that there are often further factors that go beyond the surface level, and I'm often trying to interpret what those are, but sometimes I also kind of throw my hands up and go, we may not know. And the reality of it is whether that decision works or not, we're probably not going to find out after the game either, I imagine. What do you think? Like, there's just so much out there.
and it feels like Dave Roberts is working with like two relievers at this point where he trusts, you know. It seems like Trinan and Gonzalez are the guys he goes to moment of truth. And like, you know, I think there's also an element of that, of just necessity.
Well, that's kind of one of the interesting things is also Blake Trinan. They were able to say, well, Kenley Jansen has been used up, but Blake Trinan is the one who was kind of asked to get the big outs in the ninth last night and did. And I do feel like that right now he's probably their most effective, you know, reliever. That said, it is going to be really interesting as we look through these final 2 days, these final two games, I should say. You hit on it. I kind of feel like with the Dodgers, it's very much, there's a lot more trust level in their starters right now. Well, a couple of their starters than there is in the relievers. So I would be interested to see, someone posed this question to me. I thought it was a good question. I know what my answer was, but maybe yours is different, which is, let's say that you get to the seventh or eighth inning in game six of the Dodgers and you've got a 2 or 3 run lead. How much do you crack into the Walker Buehlers, Julio Urias's to try to get you that W that means you don't have to worry about game seven? Or how much do you want to save those guys, give Buehler full rest so he can start on game seven, or give Urias an extra day and you feel like that you can kind of use the Buehler-Urias combo to maybe get you 21, 24 outs of a potential game seven, even if that puts you at a little bit less advantageous matchups at the end of a game six that you might be leading?
Oof. I think you have to treat it as must win. I don't know Buehler's comfort level coming back on short rest. That is really tough. I would have to think Urias would be in play because we've seen him in this role. I don't know about this little rest, but we've seen him come in late in close games. Like, where do you come down on that?
I'll give you my answer. I'm going to run into a quick message, quick break, and then I'll be back and give you my answer to that. Guys, take a look at a picture of yourself from a couple of years ago. Maybe there are a few more pounds there like there are of me. Maybe there's hopefully a few less. But look at your hair. Is there as much hair there now as there was a few years ago? A lot of guys, the answer is no. Two out of three guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. Best way you can keep yourself from losing your hair is to do something about it while you still have hair left to do something with. And now there's a way to do that from your own home. The simple and easy way to keep your hair is with Keeps. You can get treated at home. You don't have to go to the doctor's office. Thanks to the Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. And Keeps offers the generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. If you've tried them before, you've probably never tried them at this price. Keep treatments usually take between 4 to 6 months to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and more than 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time with this special offer, you can get your first month free. To get your first month free and you want to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/baseballamerica and get your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/baseballamerica. And we're back. So we were talking before the break about, do you use Urias or even Buehler in game six if you're the Dodgers as a reliever, if you got a lead late? Urias maybe, because I do think for game seven, everyone's, even if you pitch Urias for an inning in game six, you could still use him again in game seven. You could use Kershaw in game seven. You could use Dustin May in game six and seven, since you're using as a reliever, all hands on deck for a game seven. I don't use Buehler in game six. I don't care what the situation is. To me, you have a chance to, you could win this without using Buehler. That would be, if you're the Dodgers, that's great. But the biggest thing you have is, I don't want to, the worst case scenario here possible is you bring Buehler in late and then Buehler comes in and somehow doesn't, blows it. And then all of a sudden you're disadvantaged for game seven. I want the chances to win game six and I want the chances to win game seven. And as long as I've got Walker Buehler going in game seven, I feel great if I'm the Dodgers about my chances to win game seven. Walker Buehler's been the best pitcher in the postseason for the Dodgers and maybe the best pitcher in the postseason period this year. So I don't want to in any way screw up game seven to try to win game six. I want to win game six. But again, if you use Julio Urias, who's also got today off, you know, everyone has today off, using him for an inning in the next game in game six would not prevent him from pitching again, I would think, in game seven. That being said, I would be fine with using that. The other thing that just stands out to me overall about this season, you know, this series is, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Dodgers two out hitting. I think a lot of that just comes back to, again, it is great situational hitting, but the other part of that is just this Dodgers lineup is so insane that the guys who are coming up with two outs are generally great hitters because there are very, very, very few easy outs, if any easy outs, in this Dodgers lineup. And I would say that in a little bit of comparison to this Rays lineup, which does feel like you kind of go through a lot of games where it's like, okay, so who's coming up this inning? Oh, this is the inning that they need to get some runs.
I agree. Like even left-on-left matchups aren't a huge disadvantage for the Dodgers. It seems like their left-handed hitters are taking some good swings for the most part, you know, Muncy in particular. But I agree with you. Like 1-9, it's got to be one of the best lineups.
It. I mean, again, this is how often do you have a team that has the NL MVP in their lineup? And I think he's probably the third best hitter in the lineup right now because Mookie Betts is clearly better. And I think right now you could say that Corey Seager is better than Cody Bellinger. That's how deep this lineup is. And by the way, Justin Turner is one of the better players of the second half of the 2010s. And he's like the fourth best hitter in the lineup. This is just a really insanely deep lineup. What else has stood out to you so far of the series? What else what are things that you're looking for these final two games?
Well, to me, the big question is how the Dodgers approach the pitching assignment for game six. You know, we've seen Tony Gonsolin on short rest in game two. We've seen him work in the LCS round, like out of schedule, out of rhythm. So I don't think we've seen the real Tony Gonsolin yet this postseason. So to me, that's going to be potentially one of the biggest storylines. And if he delivers five quality innings for them or four plus, that's going to be huge.
I mean, again, this is the game. Game six is the game that obviously the Rays have to win it. That's the nature of an elimination game. But beyond that, it is the game that the Rays have to be able to feel like going into this. Okay, we've got a pretty good shot here. You know, the reality of it is, for all we talk about the Rays and the Rays are the team that, you know, kind of invented the opener and all that, the Rays are the ones who have approached this series so far from a very conventional standpoint, which is we have a starting pitcher. Like Glasnow last night was getting utterly ripped early on. They didn't go to the pen. They left him out there. And as the game went along, he started to finally start rolling and all. They treated it more like a, you know, this is a team that's basically gone out there and handed the ball to someone and said, go out and get us out as a starter, where the Dodgers have been the ones who kind of have games where it's like, okay, Tony Gonsolin went out there for game two and then, you know, was not out there for long. And they've done that irregularly. We may see that in game six. We don't know. But it is funny to me that we flipped what was kind of the, has been the script for the Rays. I think the big thing about that, though, is that with all these teams is the scripts flip based on what you are doing at that moment. Like you, what you're, everyone's trying to do. The tradition is not a big concern here. Everyone is trying to figure out what is the best way that we can get 27 outs tonight and set us up to get 27 outs the next game or the game after that. And now we're at the point where game six, game seven, two games, you stop thinking as much about what's happening later in the series, because if you, again, with the day off today, the reset today, pretty much anyone, and I mean anyone, is available if necessary to pitch one of the final two games. No one who pitched, if the Rays think that Tyler Glasnow can get them some outs in game seven and they need it and they get to a game seven, they're not going to say, oh, we can't use Glasnow because he pitched in game five. This is the part where it gets really fun. And again, the thing that stands out about it is that because we've gotten to a game six, it may be a baseball season unlike any other. That said, the postseason feels semi-normal now. Like we've gotten past the expanded wild card round, we've gotten past the expanded division series and all that. Now we're in a World Series, and it just feels like a really good World Series to me, and one that To be honest, I'll remember, you know, probably more fondly as far as the quality of it than a lot of World Series that we face, whether it's a coming at the end of a 60-game season or not.
Yeah, no doubt, because we have two evenly matched teams, number one seeds. Both of them had thrilling seven-game LCS victories, which we hadn't seen since 2004, for both LCSs went the distance. And now we might get to cap that off for the seven-game World Series. I'm right there with you. This is the defining moment of the 2020 season.
And the other thing I'll say with that is, I've said this consistently back to June. When this is over, if you're the Rays or you're the Dodgers, there's no part of this, and especially if you're a Rays fan or a Dodgers fan, there's no part of this where you're going to say, it doesn't really count because, you know, it was a 60-game season. It wasn't normal. You don't care. This is... Either team who wins this will have gone through the toughest postseason any team has ever gone through to win a World Series. It's the longest postseason. They've had more to overcome. It does make great that Randy Arozarena has some records. Okay, let's just be honest about it. Saying most in a postseason in this series, this season compared to a normal one, is not. At comparing apples to apples in any way, shape, or form. Most in a World Series, anyone does that, that's just that you're comparing apples to apples there. But having so many extra games makes a little different comparing this to, especially, you know, even postseason of a normal year. And by the way, even those records are kind of bogus because, you know, we just added wild card. We used to be that it was just the World Series. Well, yes, you can't have 20 some hits. And, you know, it's really hard to have 20 some hits in a World Series, which is what we played for the first, you know, 60 years, basically, of this. So altogether, though, a great postseason so far, a great World Series so far. I'm hopeful. I'm with you, Matt. I really am hopeful that we're going to see that next step to take this from being a really good World Series to being a great one. Really, at this point, just requires, it does seem to require a Rays win in Game 6. If we get that and a good Game 7, this is an all-time classic to me.
Yeah, and I think it's notable that I think we're seeing more World Series pushed to the limit, which has been great. You know, 5 of the 10 during the 2010s went the distance. So this is a kind of a continuation on that trend, and it's a welcome one.
A very welcome one. So we will be diving in tomorrow. We will be looking forward to Game 6. We'll be back again to kind of analyze that on Wednesday morning. We won't have a playoff podcast tomorrow. We may have another one. We won't have a playoff podcast tomorrow morning because we don't have any games to analyze tonight. But it'll be fun. We're looking forward to it. And thank you for the download. If you have downloaded Baseball America podcast, feel free to leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever your favorite podcast aggregator is. And we also do want to thank you, all of our Baseball America subscribers. You go to baseballamerica.com. You can click on shop or store there, and you can join them. We have a lot of stuff coming out. We're starting rolling out the top 10s. They're coming. As soon as the World Series is over, we'll be in top 10 time. Prospect season is just around the corner. We're already as crazy enough. I'm making calls now to work on the NL Central top 10s that I've got coming up, because that's how far prospect season never stops at Baseball America, even in a year where there were no minor league games. By the way, speaking of that, we'll have stories up this week about what's going on in the minor league negotiations. A lot of stuff coming at Baseball America. Check it out, baseballamerica.com. For Matt, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.